The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I think you mentioned yesterday Todd Gurley to the Falcons would make a lot of sense.
I did.
Todd Gurley to the Falcons.
Boom.
On a very affordable deal.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of funny. You see what Gurley gets with the Falcons. You see what Gordon gets with the Broncos. And then you see what the Texans are paying David Johnson, and it just makes you mad all over again. And not a single person anywhere has found anything to make that trade look decent. Obviously, people, when things like this happen and there's no sports, are trying to come up with stuff. And brackets and Mount Rushmore is like the most popular.
Did you see what Joe Lunardi's doing?
No, what's he doing?
So he did his bracket on Selection Sunday, and he's going through right now and basically simulating every game based on his projections and things like that of how every game would have worked out. And basically, as the games would have been tipping off, he's updating the bracket with what would have been happening right now. So Joe Lunardi, who I don't normally follow, pretty cool follow right now.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can also hit us up on the Twitch channel. Just find, go to Twitch, find ESPN 975, or go to ESPN975.com, find Twitch. Either way, you're good to go. And if you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. Been a very sportsy, stuffy, and Corona-y show. And a little bit of everything. It's been a lot of fun so far. See if we can keep it going for another hour. And if you missed any of it, you can get it all on podcastarena.com. Hope everybody's having as good a day as you can possibly have, considering the circumstances. And hope you've all got plenty of toilet paper. So, MagDaddy said American has a maintenance issue where they are limited on aircraft. If it was a regional flight, they're unlikely to have a spare available. And he said, did you talk about the cruise passengers refusing to take COVID tests in California? I didn't see that. Why are we still doing cruises right now?
I don't know.
I mean, doesn't that seem to be, I mean, that's like, hey, I'm going to go to Kansas and buy a trailer park and put it right in the middle of Tornado Alley. And what are you doing? So 713-780-ESPN is the number. And yeah, a lot of people are asking about these rumors of a shutdown. And, you know, again, let's not panic about these things until they actually happen. And you know, I don't know. And a shutdown is not going to be too much different than what we're actually all doing right now. It's just going to be a matter of I can't go out and grab a six-pack of beer.
Yeah.
I just have to have it delivered. I don't really need beer. I have enough beer to last forever, probably. Although I've pulled out some good ones tonight. I've decided, you know what? I'm going to have one more night where I'm going to pout over everything that's going on, all the crap that we're having to deal with. And then this weekend, I'm going to get my ass working on things that are going to help the people and quit worrying about stuff. So he says, starting Peaky Blinders Season 2 tonight, thanks to social distancing.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I like that series. I didn't like the last season as much because it's the first one that ended without a resolution.
But that's often what they do if they're setting up for the grand finale, which is supposedly next season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and
usually the second to last, the penultimate season.
Yeah, but
usually leaves on something like that because they're saving it all.
Well, it's basically they're just expanding it to one season to two. But what I like so much about the show is like they could have ended it after any of those other seasons, and it would have made sense.
Yes,
this time they couldn't. So somebody says, I went to HEB today and they're sold out of everything. Society is making this worse than the virus. People suck. Yeah, well, and I mean, I think when you hear these rumors that people keep throwing around out there, then everybody goes out and buys everything up. And, you know, I would just say, please buy what you need and don't overdo it. You know, just leave something for the person behind you. But yeah, they'll give us plenty of warning, I'm sure. I hope. But yeah, just and especially, here's another thing, like, if you don't necessarily need something, but it's something you kind of like having around that other people might need, then don't load up on it. And there's no reason to really load up on water right now. I've noticed a lot of that. But there's nothing wrong with the water system. I mean, we're fine. Tap water's fine. So, regardless, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And by the way, if you need something to read, Sports Map is up and running and doing just fine. So, ooh, good question. My wife has agreed to watch her first Quentin Tarantino movie. What do I pick? Is your microphone on?
No.
Okay, there you go.
I was passing some information on to Aaron and forgot to put it back on.
Reservoir Dogs is a good choice. Oh, I don't know, for a wife.
Yeah, I guess if you want her to be into it, maybe. I don't know what the best is. I mean, you're taking your chances with a woman anyway. Like, let's face it, his movies are made for men.
How about True Romance?
I guess. I don't count that as like a full-blown.
Yeah, but he wrote it.
Yeah.
Alabama Wally.
Maybe Kill Bill, because it's got a female hero.
Yeah, but then you got to watch Kill Bill 2.
Okay. Which is good for this guy, right? Now he's getting two movies out of it.
Yeah, I mean, if you can do that. I also think Jackie Brown might go over well
for
a woman. But. So he says, absolutely not true. I just left HEB and spent $175 at Bunker Hill. It's just going to vary from HEB to HEB. And Kroger. Somebody says, Natural Born Killers. That was Oliver Stone, sir.
Yeah. Well, he had a hand in it too, though. He didn't direct it, but he had a hand in the creating of it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but I mean, that's an Oliver Stone movie. It's not a Tarantino movie. If you're gonna quibble about True Romance,
yeah,
you can't be doing that.
I put it in the same category.
Yeah, a lot of
like Four Rooms, not a Tarantino movie, right. But he had his hands on it.
All females love Kill Bill. You know what? I want to hear from female listeners which ones they would recommend per se. Cause that's what we're looking for, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, men, stop texting me for a few minutes. Just women.
Oh, you creep.
What advice? No, what advice? I'm trying to help this guy out. I am trying to help this guy out. I am. I want her to like Tarantino. So I want to know from women which movie that they watch and said, whoa, this is pretty cool. I mean, to me, Pulp Fiction is where you should start. Because if you don't like Pulp Fiction, you're not going to like any of the others. But that's just me. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Any given Sunday, also Oliver Stone. So, yeah. All right. Well, just want to hear from the women, okay? Don't text me right now for like 2 minutes if you're a dude. Just as a woman, which one would you want? I'm getting a lot of Pulp Fiction.
Favorite Tarantino movie, Pretty Woman.
Yeah, I just think Pulp Fiction is that's the gold standard. I mean, that's the masterpiece, and if she doesn't like that, then trying to force feed her the other stuff isn't going to work. Female hair, Kill Bill for sure. Kill Bill was great, and I'm a girl. So, getting a bunch of stuff. Most people not paying any attention. I'm a woman. All are great. Favorite's Django.
Oh, Django's a good one.
Django is a good one.
Uncomfortable moments in Django, but
yeah,
still great.
Yeah, it is. I would say the one I liked the least probably was Hateful Eight. I still liked it, but yeah. Does it annoy you when grown ass men ask you a question they can probably answer themselves, like what to do in Vegas and TV shows to watch that they probably know that you watched and listened to the show before and knew? We have a lot of new listeners sometimes and that's why I like the Vegas thing. I always point them to the thing I wrote on Sports Map, but yeah, that's a different kind of question. It's like, you know, it's not what's your favorite Tarantino movie. It's what would you tell my wife to watch? So, Good news about working from home is I can listen to the Blitz live instead of the podcast. Bad news is I'm probably going to get divorced when my wife realizes I've been lying for a year and actually only doing 8-hour days instead of 12. R.I.P. my side piece.
Oh, no.
Dude, you're living the life. You're living the life. Good for you. I mean, you've been living the life. Now, not so much. So, 281, I identify as a woman for the next 2 minutes. Pulp Fiction. Oh, stop. Once upon a time in Hollywood. You know what, though? Once upon a time in Hollywood, while really good, pissed off a lot of people because they didn't get it for what it was.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the title tells you what it is. It's a fairy tale.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Wife loves Reservoir Dogs. Reservoir Dogs, while Pulp Fiction is the classic, Reservoir Dogs might be my favorite just because of the whole Mr. Blonde scene where he cuts off the ear.
Well, and Reservoir Dogs was, that's the OG.
Yeah. I mean, that was his first real one that he did. And the whole tipping argument at the table is one of the great scenes of all time. So, all right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, so we're going to have RJ today?
We're trying. Okay. Let's actually go to break now, try to get connected to him, and see if we can, if we don't have him, we don't have him. Times are weird, so we'll see what we could do.
Yeah.
If not, I want to go over Lance Erline's mock draft 2.0.
Yeah, I saw that today. All right, quick
2.0,
break.
2.0, bitches.
Yeah, we'll talk about the responses I saw to it right off the bat. He has a big trade near the top, and like everybody's bitching that, oh no, they'd have to give up all their first round picks. He came up with a reasonable trade there. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And you know what that music means. It's time for the gambling legend of the universe. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas, our good friend and lifelong supporter of Bill O'Brien. It's RJ Bell. What's up, buddy?
I'm not sure. I think I might have delayed that Bill O'Brien just long enough. You know, remembering Godfather 3, which is underrated, is they were asking the guy from the Vatican, well, what do you do now? What do you do now? He goes, I do what the Vatican's done for hundreds of years. Pray for time. And to me, I'm just going to wait until the O'Brien gets fired, then I won't have to have the debate. Yeah, pretty bad. So let me ask you guys, do you believe Bill O'Brien has what's the right way to say it? Does he have a problem with this generation's player? How do we say it, and does he?
Well, he certainly does. He certainly has a disconnect from this generation, and there's
that's a nice way to say it, disconnect.
And,
I like that.
And the issue is, like, the guys that are old, like, he doesn't adjust his management style to fit his personnel. He is what he is, and much like Belichick, and either you're with him or you're not, and if you're not, you're gone. And in Belichick's case, that's worked and he's had success from it. In Bill O'Brien's case, it's seen him run off some of the best players this organization's ever had, and he's got nothing to show for it. And it's piling up, and it's starting to look, and this goes, we just talked about this. Bill O'Brien is an average football coach in the NFL. I don't think he's a horrible coach. He's a horrible GM. There's no doubt that he's a horrible GM, and it didn't take us long to figure that out.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Let's say that you're right, that and I think we've seen this with a lot of Belichick's former assistants, they learn the wrong lessons, right? If you're Bruce Lee and someone's hanging out with you and they're your number two or whatever, and you see Bruce Lee always challenging people to karate fights, you're going to think, oh, it's good to challenge people to karate fights. Yeah, if you're the best karate guy in the world, right? Belichick is able to pull things off. These other guys aren't. And even Belichick wasn't able to pull it off in Cleveland. I mean, if you read anything about that time in Cleveland, he only, you know, made the playoffs once, but they were trending in the right direction. And he was a younger, I mean, meaning he made some mistakes, no doubt. And he was learning from them. And Art Modell just did not like him, is by all accounts. And to some degree, the guys like the Steve Jobs, RJ Bells, that people don't like because they're so hardcore, and it's probably some truth in that for me, is if you deliver, it's all okay. If you don't deliver, it's obviously then not okay because people hate it. But the reality is almost everything that really matters in civilization is advanced by the people. And again, obviously football coaching is an advancing civilization, but it's usually that guy that's hard to deal with, right? And I don't know if you guys ever saw the movie The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward, yeah, yeah. Robert Ford. Great movie. Did you like that?
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Oh, man. And there's a great scene. I was just rewatching it. Well, Brad Pitt, and you know, he had a great performance in it, I think. And he says, he goes, just ain't no peace when old Jesse's around. Because, you know, he was the guy on the edge all the time. And he goes, well, you should feel bad for me, too. He looked at him like in the middle of the night and said, like, do you think he wants to be this way? Right? In this case, anyone that is as fanatical as a Belichick is, ultimately, how much nicer would it be for your life, for your spirit, to be able to hang back with Tom, say, yeah, let's call, you know, these next 3 years, let's not worry about it. You know, you're not worth this money, but hey, we got some nice titles. And I'll retire together. We'll retire together. Like, that's what most people would say, right?
I would think so.
But if Belichick had said that, he wouldn't be Belichick. Now, O'Brien might not have the, you know, the skills to pull it off.
Well, clearly doesn't.
I mean, look at Mark Mangino. I know this is a little niche. I mean, Big 12, 10 years ago. But, you know, my best friend was on that, you know, he was an associate AD or whatever. And so I know a good bit about it. I knew Mangino. It's almost freaking incomprehensible the amount of success he had at Kansas. I mean, they won the Orange Bowl? Can you imagine that today?
That's pretty wild.
And the point is that what ultimately, if you go back and read what happened... What happened? Meaning that that he was maybe too rough. Like, there wasn't even one accusation, like with Leach or whatever, you could say, well, that James kid. There wasn't even a real clear accusation other than he's, he's tough. And with all that winning, he still was just gone. I mean, he was like the OC at Youngstown State.
Yeah. The same thing happened to Mike Leach at Texas Tech.
Exactly. And you look back at Leach, what did they do? Win double-digit games for 11 straight years or something? It's almost incomprehensible. I mean, like two of the great – and by the way, they both were on that OU staff when they won in 2002, was it? I don't remember. But the that amazing OU staff there, if you think about it. But, you know, and think about it, I think Leach had left the year before they won the title. But all of them coming from the Bill Snyder tree, which I have connections to. So, and there's the guy. He was able to, you know, not, he was as hard as anyone. I mean, like literally to this day, Bob Stoops, all those guys that were on that original Snyder staff or early are like, I'm not going to be like he is. Like when they became head coaches, like their guiding light was, I'm not going to be as hardcore as Bill Snyder because he would literally put in 16-hour days, like in March. Like there's nothing to do, and he'd have the whole staff there for 16 hours. And you could say, well, what about the kids? What about the recitals? Okay, maybe. Or you could say Bill Snyder's one of the five best coaches of the last 30 years. When you look at performance,
I guess relative to what
to expectations,
wins above replacement. Yeah, I guess you would probably put him there. Same with Coach K. Yeah. I mean, what was Duke basketball before Coach K got there? I mean, the question of what it will be after he leaves is TBD. But, yeah, there are certain guys, like Florida State football pre-Bobby Bowden. I mean, there's guys who can literally change the course of a program.
You know, that's interesting. I would have never thought of either of those guys in that list, and here's why, and maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like that Big Eight football, I think it still was at the time, was very competitive, meaning it was, of all football, it was like, you know, right there, right? You think about those Oklahoma teams, the Nebraska teams, pre-1988, let's say. Little trivia question. Who was the coach of Kansas State before Bill Snyder?
Oh, God, I've got no idea. I wasn't alive.
In 1988?
No, I was eight.
Stan Parrish, a guy named Stan. And actually, he was only there, I think, a year, but he's the guy that recruited my best buddy, who was a punter on that team. So he, the guy that was at Kansas, was actually at Kansas State for the first like 6 or 7 years because he was there as a player, then a GA, and et cetera. So think about that. That's an interesting little run, is you actually are there for – Sports Illustrated had the worst program ever, was the title for Kansas State that 88 year. Snyder comes in, biggest turnaround in the history of college football. A couple years later, he goes to Kansas with Mangino, and as impressive as anything, and oh, by the way, not as impressive, he was on Dana Dimmel's staff here at Houston.
Yeah, we called him Dana Dismal around here.
Well, the thing about him, I knew that wasn't going to work. I went down and visited for a couple, like maybe a week on two different occasions. And he was like spending half his time. I don't know about half. He was spending a lot of time. And listen, I mean, I don't know Dana now. We don't talk, but I mean, I know Dana. So nothing, you know, nice guy. But he was spending like a third of his time, it seemed like, on a new house he was building. And I'm like, you know, to me, and I was, you know, pretty young at this point, I'm like, I'd be living in an apartment right next to the facility, walking to work, right? Not planning on how big the chandelier is going to be. And I guess that's the question, and we see that all the time, is when people get that big contract, whatever it is relatively for them, what do they do with it, right? Is it what they focus on? Because we see that with players all the time.
That dude wouldn't walk in anywhere except to get another six-pack.
Well, I know we don't have much time with you, RJ. I wanted to ask you quickly before we lose you, what's the vibe like in Vegas right now? I mean, obviously it's a whole different world right now.
Yeah, you know, I guess the best way to explain it is on Straight Out of Vegas, our show, I always, in the beginning of the second segment, I tell the weather, right? And then I have a fun little thing that I say, and the neon is crackling,
right,
or pumping or flowing. Well, the neon is off. And think about that. Think about that. Sinatra died in 98. That was my first year here. And they actually dimmed the lights on the strip for like, you know, 20 minutes or whatever, a short period of time. I literally, and you think I'm kidding, I've seen two people die in a poker room. So two different occasions, late at night both times, heavy set gentlemen just keeled over at the table. Now, I wasn't at the table either time. Both times, this is what happened. Oh, geez. Within 3 minutes, they had moved the remaining players to an adjacent table, and the hands were being dealt. Within 5 minutes of there, they're complaining about filling the empty seat.
Oh, boy.
I mean,
that sounds right.
I mean, yeah. Fred, you've been in the poker rooms, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Does that surprise you?
No, that sounds perfect.
So think about it. They're shutting Every casino, you know, one, you know, MGM was one of the first. Well, I think Wynn was first. They each made a decision. Eventually, it was not a decision, but how bad must this be? And obviously, it seems like, and I'm no professional, but all the precautions or all the effort seems to be helping, you know, but still, how big is something that you can't even remember when a casino shuts down? Like, casinos don't shut down, ever.
Did they even shut down after 9/11?
No.
Hell no. Well,
when the Mandalay Bay, don't let the terrorists win. When the Mandalay Bay had that shooting, they didn't shut down for an hour. They just shut the floor off. The worst shooting, I think, in the history of this country, if it's just body count, and they won't even shut down the floor above it and the floor below it. I mean, this place is hard freaking core. That's why I love it. Right? They laugh at Belichick. But this, you know, my favorite story, and I'll just make those other people wait. Here, I love this story. Because let's be honest. Fred, where'd you grow up?
Basically here. I mean, I detoured to L.A. very briefly to try to be a rock star, but for the most part here.
But you didn't go there to be a rock star when you were 12 years old.
No, I went when I was
18. You weren't in Menudo. Were you in Menudo?
No. Sorry.
All right. So how? But you went to high school in the Houston area.
Yes.
Okay. AJ.
Same. Well, right. I spent some time living in New Mexico.
So, I grew up in a town with 4,000 people. Where literally 80% of the dads were coal miners like my dad or mill workers. You know, the movie All the Right Moves is literally the best representation of where I grew up. It literally was filmed like 20 miles away. And it really captured it. Great Tom Cruise, 5'9 quarterback. And he was going D1. But I just really, really wanted to get to Vegas, I guess. I mean, it was pre-internet, right? I graduated high school in 88. And the USA Today was like the only thing that was like the outside world. And I just was, and I used to watch UNLV, and I just loved the Tark and the da-da-da, you know. And I just watched some of that Arkansas-UNLV game, their undefeated season. They were at Arkansas. Remember, 40 minutes of hell and all that. It was a close game. They came out, started pressuring a little bit. They had like a 26-3 run to start the second half on the road against like the number two team, I think, at the time in the country. What a team. I just loved the whole thing. When I got here in 98, I loved it. Literally, it was a three-day drive from Ohio. First night, we left like at 6 Eastern, you know, so it was half a day and then two more days. We got in town at like 1:30 in the morning. And it was me and my girlfriend at the time, my buddy, his girlfriend, who were sisters. It was a fun time, right? And we got into the extended stay, and I went, you know, I'm going to go down the Mirage, which was the main card room. So like 1:30 after driving for 2.5 days, I'm down at the Mirage playing poker. It was that great to me, and it still is in different ways. But the point of the story is Oscar Goodman was the mayor, and I remember reading in the Weekly that a city councilman got indicted for something. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, indicted, city councilman, corruption, Watergate, whatever. And you look at Oscar Goodman's quote, it says, they can indict a ham sandwich. Talk to me when he gets convicted. And I said, I'm home. this is where I'm supposed to be. And the flip side of that is his wife has now been mayor for 9 years. Oscar had 12. And his wife, Mayor Goodman, too, I guess you'd say. And she went to the city council meeting, and the Nevada governor said only essential businesses should be running. And they have that place where, like, on the local TV station where anyone that's a citizen can walk up and talk. You know, there's a podium. She actually spoke from the podium because she was just a concerned citizen, and she was just lambasting the governor saying, we got to make our money. Yes, we have to stop, you know, the spread of this. No doubt. But the money's what matters. And I'm like, this place hasn't changed. This is great. What do you think, guys? That was a good story.
That is a good story. Yeah,
definitely.
You had to trust me.
We
did.
I know it's crazy for you right now. I know, everybody's pulling you in all different directions. Appreciate you taking some time for us.
Oh,
man.
Listen, this is one of my favorite segments of the week. And you know how stir crazy people are? The Ravens and the Steelers had their first trade in 23 years. Now that's a sign things aren't normal.
But RJ, I got to ask you, have you seen Big Ben?
Big Ben?
He looks like he's going to die at a poker table.
I tell you this, I saw him at the end of last year when he had the big beard with the beard on the sidelines.
Yes.
He looked like he looked like one of those wrestlers that's been retired for 2 years and they're bringing him out for WrestleMania. I'm not optimistic.
All right, that's RJ Bell. At RJ in Vegas, pregame.com. Check it out, guys. Appreciate you, RJ. We'll talk to you soon, man.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. I'm very proud of the way he managed to avoid the Bill O'Brien conversation again.
Well, I think he admitted defeat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I still would have the he can argue the coach part with me, just not the GM at this point. There is no argument about him as a GM. He's as bad as we've seen in a while. I mean, like if we're gonna do GM rankings of all time, he's gonna be down there in the land of, you know, I don't know, Lad Herzig and stuff. So, which is before your time, but yeah, it's just, and I'm talking about in the NFL, not just in Houston.
Yeah,
I mean, he's going to be one of the worst ever, and he made what may be the worst trade in Houston sports history. Certainly top two,
according to you.
Yeah, according to me, and I've lived through almost all of those. So, Space Ghost with a good question. Should Big Ben be on the Deadpool watch list?
I don't know if he's that bad, but boy, he doesn't look like a professional athlete.
Well, if he gets out there and tries to play football looking like that, he could heart attack in a second.
I shouldn't say he doesn't look like a professional athlete. He doesn't look like a quarterback right now.
No, he looks like a nose tackle.
Yes.
he looks like white Jarrell Casey is what he looks like. So that's not good. That's not who you want throwing the ball. Yeah, I think he'd be a good dark horse. Man. Who would you say is the worst GM, O'Brien or Chip Kelly? They're the same guy. And
yep.
I've been saying all along, this is Chip Kelly in Philadelphia. And, you know, I think O'Brien's made worse moves. At least Kelly got some stuff for LeSean McCoy and some of the moves he made. I mean, yeah, he tore down the roster, but he at least got some assets that helped him get to a Super Bowl. What has Bill O'Brien gotten back?
Not much.
Warm bucket of spit, some skull, maybe some Copenhagen. That's about it. So, yeah, I mean, and obviously those two are pretty similar because they both made a flurry of trades of high-profile trades that just turned things south. But, again, hey, I'm sure Bill O'Brien has a great explanation for why he made these moves, and I'm sure he'll be completely open and honest with us about them.
Oh, totally.
At some point when he's not hiding behind the coronavirus.
Yeah, why wouldn't
with
he?
A statement. I really don't like that guy. Really don't. 409 says Big Ben kind of looks like Fat Thor.
Yeah, I can get with that.
A little bit. Lebowski Thor, I like to call him.
Yeah, he does kind of look like that.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, Fat Thor could still fight.
True.
So.
Well enough, anyway.
Yeah. Again, Sylvester Turner tweeting out, I've had no conversation with the National Guard. That's another rumor that everybody's throwing out there. Should there be any changes in policy, you will hear it from me. H-E-R-E. Come on, dude. Spell right.
That's not good.
Again, there is no lockdown this weekend. If there is a change in our policy and our positions, you will hear it from me. Okay. Yeah. Dude, come on, man. That's a simple word. Hear it from me. H-E-R-E. Oh, and somebody else dropped the martial law thing the other day. With
a lot of people are doing that.
Golly, guys. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to.
It's very confusing.
I'm not going to criticize our education system because it's fantastic, really. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and roll, boys.
On ESPN 97.5.
So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason. Can't find hope to believe in.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And guess who's on the line?
Lance. Lance, I hear you're panicking.
What's that?
Aaron tells me you're panicking.
No. I just wondered if you guys had heard that little rumor. Well, I'm still going to do a show on an iPad. It doesn't matter to me.
We can't stop you.
I went by Pete's Fine Meat, got some steak, ribs, and ground beef. So I'm locked in red meat zone now.
Oh, that's the way to be, my man. That is the way to be. Well, you're also locked into your Twitter mentions are filled with what right now?
Well, I muted the conversation. So I don't know what it's actually. I don't know what is actually happening. I know it was getting a little ugly with Bengals fans when I didn't give them Joe Burrow. The response, I had them trading with Miami. And you had, of course, Draft Dork, who was like, this isn't even a fair trade. You don't even – I'm like, I haven't even really – I just gave you the framework of a trade. I'm not executing a trade, dummy. I'm just giving you the basics of a trade. It would be figured out. And then I even put in a paragraph, I think Joe Burrow will be drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals. However, if he's not, and if they believe that they're not going to be able to hang on to him long term, then let's create a contingency. And, of course, too many dum-dums to understand that. So, you know, because drafts go exactly like we think they're going to go in every sport all the time. So we shouldn't even expect anything. It's the only thing that I know of where people year after year after year are shown something different than they expect, and then the very next year they expect everything to be the exact way they expect it to be, even though they're 0 for the last 20 or 0 for the last 30.
Am I crazy to – I mean, I feel like getting Tua at this point, you're going to get value because I believe – and I know you feel a little bit differently. I think most people do. But I think at worst, these guys are even. I probably like Tua a little bit more than Joe Burrow, if I'm being honest. I feel like getting him anywhere but number one, that team is going to get a better value than whoever takes Joe Burrow number one, especially if a team trades multiple number ones to jump up and get Joe.
Well, in a way, I actually think Tua, I have a higher grade on Burrow, but the fact is, Burrow to me has a little bit of a concerning floor. Where Tua, my issue with Tua is primarily durability, but I do think he can fit in with a lot of different teams. He's got better arm. He's got a lot of twitchy, feet. He can slide around the pocket fine. There's a lot of things to like about Tua also. Now, in my mock, I had L.A. Chargers trading up to 3 to get him, and I do think that's where Tua's going. I think Tua's going 3rd. Now, who's going to get him? I don't know. Maybe it could be Detroit. My guess is Detroit is going to flip-flop with either 5 Miami or 6 L.A., and if and when that happens, they can probably still get a cornerback, Jeffrey Okuda, who,
that's who they would
really
take at 3
now.
Probably, right?
What's that?
That's who they'd probably be looking to take at 3.
They could get him at 3, but you know what? If they flipped to
and they
5
can get
or
him at 6,
I think they still get him.
Yeah, I do too.
I think they still get him. And so that's why that trade out makes a lot of sense. That's why I think Tua is going to go 3rd.
Well,
or 2nd.
Who's the
if Washington really gets a little, if Washington, it would be interesting is if Washington got this massive haul. Of course, we saw that before with RG3. The number 2 pick got a huge haul for RG3.
I noted that Jacob Eason was the quarterback that fell out of the first round for you. That's based on the Senior Bowl. What's it based on?
No, I still think he's going. I just threw him out there to the Tampa Bay Bucks because that's where I think we'll ultimately draft him. I still think it will happen, just not in the first round. I mean, he was never a first round player to me. But then after seeing him at the combine, I mean, I never thought he was a first rounder personally, but I did know that Bruce Arians and those guys liked him. But once Tom Brady's kind of locked in, and Jacob Eason to me is not a day one starter anyway. He is a guy that you draft and try to develop. So I still think he could be a second round pick. Now, me putting Jordan Love at 20, you got to understand, I didn't have Jordan Love in my first mock draft. People are all upset about it, and I don't have a first round grade on him. But I don't know where Jordan Love goes because some people like him, some people don't. And depending on where the runs on the positions come, Jordan Love is that sneaky. I would say the Patriots would get Jordan Love if they had more draft capital. But in a weird season, they don't have the extra first. They don't even have a second. So this is the one year where the Patriots can usually move around the draft however they like. They don't even have a second-round pick. So I don't know if this is going to be the year where they can move up and get their hands on Jacob Eason. It may be one of these surprise teams where, not Jacob Eason, but Jordan Love, where somebody jumps up and drafts him that we don't expect, which is going to be, what if the Raiders did it? at 18. What if he's there and the Raiders did and everyone says, whoa, well, you've got Carr and Mariota. Yeah, but are either of those guys long-term solutions?
With, you know, with it seems like now with all the quarterback signings that have happened, it seems like now the only place that doesn't really have a quarterback that they probably feel super comfortable with is New England. Do you see them making a move for a veteran? Do you see them drafting a guy or maybe potentially even moving up in the draft, which is something very unpatriot-like? What do you see happening with New England at quarterback?
Well, I mean, like I said, I think they would be the team that would most likely, you know, be in the market to trade up. I just don't know with no second rounder. I don't know that they can trade up.
Yeah.
I just don't think they have, unless they're willing to, they could go future second rounder to trade up. I guess they could do that. They could take a big shot up and trade a future first rounder if they want to, flip flop and give away a future first. I mean, it's possible, but here's the problem. Once you get outside of Jordan Love, I think there's a big drop to Jacob Eason, who I don't think is going to be a successful NFL starter. He's got a chance to be an average one if the protection's right. But he does have that big arm. And, you know, Bill Belichick has drafted Ryan Mallett before. He had him before. So I think that could be a possibility, that Jacob Eason could be a guy that that goes there. But I don't think he's going to have the football IQ that Bill Belichick covets. And then I think ultimately he's just going to go find. He's going to go out there and try to find a veteran. I think that's what he's going to do.
Is Cam Newton a possibility?
You know, Cam could be a possibility. In a weird way, I think Jameis could be a possibility. But there's just so many turnovers. I don't know if Bill Belichick wants to mess with that. I know there's the Jameis to Washington stuff that's out there. But, you know, Jake Fromm feels like a Bill Belichick type of guy. Extremely intelligent. Doesn't have the big arm, but maybe could develop into, you know, he could take on a game manager role. But I just think ultimately you're going to be left wanting more with Jake Fromm. But there's just not a lot of guys. Once you get outside of the first four guys, it really falls off.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein from NFL Network, and of course from the bench. You'll still be able to hear him 7 to 9:30 here on our station from an iPad. So appreciate the time, Lance, and we'll talk to you next week. Stay Corona free.
Yep, you guys be safe.
All right, we have time for stupid stuff. Hit it.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
Somebody has to say, hey, listen, dumbass, this makes no sense. If you want to trade the guy, you better bring me back a package, a big package. I mean, I'm talking like porn star package.
But I think that would lead to people calling it the China flu or the Kung flu. We're trying to avoid
the bat flu. It's a bat flu.
But then, now Batman's taking heat.
Well,
everything that Batman creates, they name it Bat This, Batmobile, Batarang. Now, Bat Flu, he's like, hey, man, this isn't a Wayne Enterprises creation.
I'm not going to read your text 281. So non-essential employees, you mean the usual suspects, right? Stop. That's funny, but mean.
Strippers are making money by doing sex cams now.
That makes sense.
Yeah. If I were hot, that's what I would do.
Yeah. I've been doing the same thing. I've got to supplement my income. So I've been doing I've got an OnlyFans account now. You guys want to see my feet?
Ooh, I think you know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I think you should go put some ASMR on there.
Hey, guys. You like this? You like that? I'll just do Kirk Cousins. You like that? You like that? I know you like that.
No, I don't.
You suck, too. You suck, too, mother... You suck, too.
Yeah.
The great thing about delivering food is you can eat a few French fries on your way and then give them their food.
You would totally do that, wouldn't you?
No, I would not do
that. You are a liar.
I'm not, that's not me. If I did anything, I would just eat the entire chicken sandwich and then say, Chick-fil-A shorted you.
Like, that's it.
Sorry.
Sir, you have crumbs on your face. Huh? I don't know. That's just purely coincidence. I don't know what that means.
That just gave oral sex to a gingerbread man. Like...
What a weird...
I don't know. That's all I can think of. I'm trying to come up with an excuse for crumbs, okay?
Greg says GameStop's staying open because they desperately need the business.
Yeah.
They've had one foot in the grave for the last 2 years. Yeah, I can't you just buy all this stuff online now?
Yes.
Because I'm thinking
But they still want you to bring your used disc... your used discs in, and they want to give you like 25 cents a pop for them, and then resell them for $8. What if Bane was injecting COVID-19 the whole time?
I've always been immune. You fools, I was prepared for this day. Look at you now fighting amongst yourselves. Society's collapsing around us. My veins have been pumping with COVID-19 for years, and now it's all mine.
That's a decent Bane, right?
Yeah, it's not as good as the last time.
You're never going to get away with this, Bane. I've got a bat solution for bat flu. Yeah.
Stupid stuff.
That's it.
This week.
Oh, boy.
It's always good when Batman joins the program.
Yeah, Batman or Bane.
Yeah, appreciate them.
You know, or Jim Baker. All right, good job, Aaron. Good job, AJ. We'll be back on Monday in some form or fashion. We'll let you know, and I hope everybody has an awesome weekend. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.